We were in the middle of the story of Rabbi Akiva and how his father-in-law refused to take him as a son-in-law. Rabbi Akiva, when he came in, Akiva, the son of Yosef, a descendant of Gerim, and he didn't know anything. I mean, he didn't even know how to finish the Pasuk Shema Yisrael. He didn't know a single Pasuk. Didn't know anything. So Kalba Savua, who was one of the philanthropists of the time, Baron Rothschild of his day, so he refused that his daughter would marry this shepherd who hates the rabbis, who doesn't know how to finish one verse. And then she saw the potential in that shepherd. She married him, and this was his second marriage. And he came into the marriage with baggage, with a son, Yoshua. And after a time, she realized how great he could be, how modest he was, what an honest and good person he was, and she sent him to learn Torah. And then when Rabbi Akiva returned, so he ended up being away for 24 years, and his wife Rachel went out to greet him, and she didn't have any nice clothing to wear. She was living in dire poverty for 24 years while he was out learning Torah. And so the neighbor said to her, "Your husband's coming back, borrow a nicer dress, don't go out in those tatters." And she said, "No, my husband, Rabbi Akiva, he's such a tzaddik, he's such a wise person. Even when I come with these clothing, he'll understand. He'll know where I'm coming from." Part of being a chacham and a tzaddik is understanding what the poor have to endure and understanding the soul of one's wife. So he's surrounded with 24,000 students. You know, you guys can imagine. That's like...
Pomp and suit.
What?
Pomp and suit.
Yeah, it's, there's a whole lot of people around Rabbi Akiva. I mean, if you figure that's like half this community, half of Kiryat Moshe is packed with people all around Rabbi Akiva. And you can imagine, he's come to town. People are flocking. They want to see, who is that? And Rachel has to bump her way in. And she comes in, and for 24 years she's been waiting for this moment. For 24 years, she's been doing everything for this moment, that her husband comes back and he knows Torah. And at the same time, she's crying and laughing, and it's the most exciting moment of her life, probably. And the students see the great rabbi and this woman in tatters, this pauper by his feet. So they want to shoo her away. "No, leave the rabbi alone," right? And Rabbi Akiva turns to them and says, "Leave her. Everything we all know, all the Torah, my Torah, your Torah, it's all hers. She's the one that sent me to learn. And she suffered, she endured these years so that I'll have this Torah that we have today." Now, you could imagine that a big rabbi comes to town, everyone hears about it, you know, 24,000 people. That's a big number. So, Kalba Savua hears that a great rabbi came to town. Now, it's been years that he's really regretting that he made this vow not to let his daughter marry that shepherd. He's been out of touch with his daughter, and he doesn't know what really became with the shepherd and what kids. He doesn't know what grandchildren he has. And he's really been upset that he took this vow and banned his daughter from any of his wealth. And now he says, you know, if this big sage came, maybe he'll help me. There's a mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs is that a rabbi can find a way, and the Torah gives a way that a rabbi can annul a vow. And maybe this rabbi is such a big person. Maybe he'll find a way to annul my vow, and I'll be able to help my poor daughter. My daughter, I know is living in dire poverty. Maybe I'll be able to help her. And so Kalba Savua comes to Rabbi Akiva. He's standing before that same shepherd, only he doesn't know it. And he's standing before the rabbi, and after 24 years, he doesn't recognize the man who was the shepherd 24 years ago. And Rabbi Akiva recognizes him. And Rabbi Akiva sees Kalba Savua is so pained. He says to him, "Rabbi, tell me, is there any way, how can I annul the vow?" And Rabbi Akiva says to him, "Tell me, if you would have known at the time you took the vow that Rachel, your daughter, that her husband would be a big rabbi one day, would you have made such a vow?" And Kalba Savua says, "No. If you would have known one chapter, one halacha, He didn't know a single halacha. He didn't know one law of the Torah. If he would have even known one chapter of Torah, I would have approved the marriage. But that my daughter should marry a man who doesn't even know one halacha, that I wasn't willing to stand. And Rabbi Akiva said, if so, then we can annul your vow. And Shalom Aleichem, I'm your son-in-law. I'm Akiva. I'm the shepherd. And when Kalba Savua heard that, he fell to Rabbi Akiva's feet and he kissed him. And he took his wealth, split it in half, and gave half his wealth to Rabbi Akiva. He gave half his wealth to his newfound son-in-law. And if you recall, at the beginning of the story, when Rabbi Akiva and Rachel were living in dire poverty, Rabbi Akiva was living with her in a barn. They had nowhere to live. She was waking up in the morning with hay in her hair, and he'd be picking the hay out of her hair, and as he's picking the hay out of her hair, he promised her, one day when I'll be able to afford it, I'll get you a tiara, a beautiful Jerusalem of gold over your head. And now that he's so wealthy, he just got half his father-in-law's wealth, and his father-in-law was the Baron Rothschild at the time. He was one of the great philanthropists. He went out and got her a beautiful Jerusalem made of gold. And Rachel, on the one hand, she got her Jerusalem of gold, but in her eyes, the real gold that she got was that her husband, Rabbi Akiva, became this great Talmid Chacham in spite of their poverty, and maybe because of their poverty. And we see in this story, on the one hand, that Rabbi Akiva meant his promise. He meant his promise to Rachel, and he remembered it over 2 decades later. 24 years later, he's still remembering it. He's been living distance from her for 24 years, and he still remembers it. And we also see that all of Torah Shebaal Peh, you should know the oral law, the tradition of the oral law really went through Rabbi Akiva, and technically, we can thank Rachel for the oral law the way we have it today. We thank Rabbi Akiva because it is his disciples, but it was Rachel, his wife, who really got him to learn all of this Torah. So it all is laying on the shoulders of this great woman.
I have a question.